This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. By the end of August, there's usually consensus on the song of the summer. That one song that stands out among the rest and sums up the feeling of the entire season. But this year, during a summer unlike any other, without social gatherings and music festivals, but with protest marches and political conventions, what does a 2020 song of summer even sound like? That's not to say there hasn't been great music. Artists got really creative with live streaming concerts, and music videos made a comeback, and they were inspired by cultural shifts. So today, we're looking at some of the candidates for Song of the Summer in the latest installment of our Review Preview. On Mondays, we invite an expert on to help curate some of the culture that's out there, and joining me now is Pitchfork Editor-in-Chief Pooja Patel. Hi, Pooja.
Hey, Allison. How are you?
Good. So where did you start your search for Song of the Summer in this crazy summer of 2020?
Oh, God. I feel like there's been so much great music that's been released, but all of it feels like it is speaking directly to coronavirus, whether that is longing or lust or the feeling of touch or needing to end the day. I feel like the Song of the Summer usually starts revealing itself in early spring when they're trying to land for the beginning of summer, Memorial Day, and then it kind of rolls out from there.
Many of the songs on the list that you shared with us and we're going to share with the audience in a minute became really popular on TikTok. How has TikTok gained so much influence in the music industry?
Well, I think one of the really cool things about TikTok is that it feels communal. And so all that someone needs to do to feel like they're a part of this community right now, where everyone is stuck at home, where everyone feels really disconnected and wants to be at clubs and wants to be at live concerts and wants to be dancing along to their favorite singer, is by creating their own personalized version of it. And then that helps rack up streams, which then influences the chart, which then influences the Song of the Summer.
Let's get to some music. You picked The Weeknd, Blinding Lights. What makes this stand out for you?
Oh my God, the staff of Pitchfork gave me so much guff for this song, to be honest. But it's kind of this perfect summer song. As soon as it opens up, you hear these retro synths, you hear this running beat. It immediately takes you back to this comfortable, like, aura of pop. And for me, it feels like it exactly mirrors kind of how overwhelming this summer has been, the lack of time, the lack of touch, and just the line, "I can't sleep until I feel your touch." I mean, we're all just trying to get to the end of the day this summer, and you can feel that yearning in this song.
Let's take a listen to Blinding Lights by The Weeknd. Pooja, there are so many audio throwbacks of the 90s in this song. It's who do you hear?
Oh, God.
A little aha, maybe?
There's that. There's so much of exactly that. Like, there's a lot of the, there's even some, like, yacht rock. There's some, like, any glam air band that you can think of.
All right, next up we have Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B. Megan Thee Stallion's had an incredible, you have two songs in here featuring her, WAP, as well as the Savage remix with Beyonce's. So WAP was released a couple weeks ago. It was instantly everywhere online. There's two things we can talk about this. We can talk about the song, and then we can talk about the controversy. So first, as a track, Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion, what works about this song musically?
Literally everything. For one, there's this a retro throwback, right? The Frank Ski sample, Whores in This House, which is this 90s Baltimore house song, totally flipped on its head to become the beat of this song. And then you have two insane powerhouses. I mean, two women who are at the top of their game right now, perfectly syncing up and bouncing off of each other. And then there's also just, it's so raunchy and so lusty, and then also so legitimately laugh out loud funny. And to have all of those things coexist in this song makes it just a full banger in my mind.
I know people have such much hype and controversy, although I think it's just this great, huge expression of female sexuality and owning it. But to your point, there's sort of like a lot of Lucille Ball moments in the video. I mean, it's just wacky.
But isn't it? I mean, it's wacky, but it's so over the top in a way that it feels really powerful to me. Mm-hmm. It feels kind of empowering to force those images on the world.
All right, let's talk about Savage, Megan's remix of her song with Beyonce. Let's take a little listen to it, and we'll talk about it on the other side.
I'm a savage, okay. Classy, bougie, ratchet, okay. Sassy, moody, hey. Nasty, hey. Yeah. Acting stupid, what's happening? What's happening? I'm a savage, okay. Classy, bougie, ratchet, okay. Sassy, moody, nasty, hacking, stupid, what's happening?
What do you think? I mean, she was big last summer, but she's huge this summer. What is it about her as an artist that has set her up for the success?
I mean, she's had such a traumatizing year. Just to revisit that, to have such a traumatizing year and then come out of that and just be so sharp, I think that her flow is unbeatable. She has such a kind of confidence and this, she knows where to take a pause. She knows when to run loose. And then the full kind of embodiment of womanhood is Megan Thee Stallion, I feel like. And it's stallion season, as one of my coworkers put. It's stallion season this summer.
My guest is Pooja Patel, editor-in-chief of Pitchfork. We're talking about some of the candidates for Song of the Summer. Let's take a listen to DaBaby, and this is featuring fellow artist Roddy Ricch. Let's take a listen, and we'll talk about it on the other side. This is Rockstar.
Yeah. Let's go. Brand new Lamborghini, a cop car. With a pistol on my hip like I'm a cop. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Have you ever met a real new rock star? Yeah, yeah, yeah. This ain't no guitar, but this a clock. Ooh. My Glock told me to promise you gon' squeeze me. Better let me go the day you need me. Put me on that new, get the bus. Yeah. And if I ain't enough,
this is another one of those songs that blew up on TikTok. Just, what are the benefits and what's a possible disadvantage of a song that goes viral like this on that app?
I think one of the benefits is that it does make it feel more authentic and accessible, because when people can relate to a song in that way that they want to personalize it, it automatically feels like it's of the people. So I feel like that is just one of the very clear benefits of TikTok. I think one of the downsides to the TikTok hit is when you can feel a song that has reconfigured itself to go viral.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that Drake's 2C Slide is one of those songs. But and it kind of loses all of the edge and the natural movement within it. But this one just felt like, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I said this one just felt like it had an unusual time at the top of the charts, I think about 10 weeks.
Hmm.
And it felt made for blown out speakers. It felt like if I'm in Brooklyn, you can hear it playing out of cars right now. This one felt of the people.
Burna Boy, Wonderful, is on your list. He's a Nigerian singer. For those who are unfamiliar, who is Burna Boy?
So Burna Boy is this Nigerian singer who's part of this big boom right now in Afrobeats, and his last album, African Giant, was one of my favorites. He just came out with another album called Twice as Tall. But he's gotten some more attention recently because he was featured on Beyonce's Lion King soundtrack and then also on Queen and Slim.
Let's take a listen to Wonderful from Burna Boy.
I'm gonna show you wonder why they wonderful. You're not gonna believe what it won't happen. Notice the boss when they go.
I love that one. Let's go to Haim, 3 a.m. Haim Sisters, they were guests on our show when they released their album, Women in Music, Part 3. Your album, it was rated Best New Music on Pitchfork. So why this one track? This is a really strong album all the way through. Why 3 a.m.?
3 a.m. is kind of the outlier on the album, actually. It's this perfect California song, and you can't have a summer without a California song. I mean, you feel the G-funk in it. Mm-hmm. You can get these like 90s R&B vibes. I honestly, to me, it sounds like they were listening to SWV, like leading up to this. But it's like one of those classic late night booty call songs where you're trying to battle the feelings of, is it worth it for me? Do I want to, like, I'm sick of this, but I can, I'm in my feelings about it. It's just a perfect heat of the night summer song.
And with that, let's go out on Jessie Ware. Pooja Patel from Pitchfork, thanks for being with us.